Praise and thanks be unto the Lord, also for this afternoon that we again can spend in His presence. Every word that is read touches our heart. We are glad about it, that we may believe and accept it. Also for this weekend, we are grateful, for most certainly God has spoken to all of us through His word, and it will not return void, but it will accomplish for what He has sent it for. We are thankful to all who could come, that you have come, in particular our French-speaking brothers and sisters. We are grateful that they come, and we promise them that soon we will also come to them. This afternoon we will make it very short. We have heard such a fullness of thoughts, precious thoughts of God. And if I would ask today, who of you ever has read this sermon with such a view, with such an inner gain, as we read it last night and also this morning, then most certainly all would say, I have read it, yes, but so much I didn't get out of it, right or not? Yes, most certainly it will be so. Even Sister Rempel nods her head. So it's all right like this. We are so honest here at this place and are grateful to God. Is it not also with the Holy Scripture like this? Do we not always read new things from the old word? Over and again. And how often we read the Holy Scripture. I was once on the Isle of Patmos, this some of us know. And I can't remember how often I've read the book of Revelation there. In any case, in that cave in which John was at that time, I also sat there. And I was reading and reading. When I reached the 22nd chapter, at the end, I started again from the beginning and read it again. If I look back today, then I note gratefully that by reading alone, not all is done. The time must come, and the Spirit of God must reveal. Also this we emphasized. Also in the ministry of Brother Branham, it went from clarity to clarity, and from knowledge to knowledge. Also for this we are grateful. There is only one who is perfect in knowledge, and this is God. He will never be able to learn, because He knew everything and He knows everything and will know everything throughout eternity. Of the meetings in Africa, I have reported between 3,000 and 5,000 people have heard the Word of God, and I have worn myself out there. I preached too mightily, but the greater the multitude, the listeners, the more mighty it has to be preached. And if already here the sweat pours down on me, what do you think what goes on there? And this is also a bit strenuous, earthy. But also for this God has taken care. One always renews oneself by the grace of God, also in the earthy realm. When this bishop there said, Nairobi will no more be the same Nairobi after these days, I was grateful he said it, because I knew that God has done great things on many people. I would like to just briefly read some scriptures that deal with the Word of God. And that's how we emphasized it. That's how we believe it with all our hearts. God's Word has become more precious than everything. And in Psalms 119, verse 49, it is written, Psalms 119, verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. There is another scripture that says, the Lord sent his word and made them well. In Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This word reminds us on what Peter has written. I read it. It should be written in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In these days, we have heard of the divine seed that is laid into our hearts, and this seed is the word of God. Without a seed, there is no birth. He who wants to have a crop must plant. In fact, every reproduction comes by a seed, also in the spiritual realm. The word is the seed. This divine seed was laid into us and brings forth after its own kind. In 1 Peter 1, verse 25, it says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We deal with God and with God's word, with the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord, in which the offer of grace is given to mankind. Then there is the word in 2 Peter, chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Over and again we read of the word of God, and we believe also that what Paul wrote to his co-worker Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Also, this must be ensured, not only to have the word of God, to rightly divide it, to put it unto the place where it belongs, to bring it into the right connection, and thus Timothy should do it. The reason Paul gives in 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, with very serious words, I believe this is a very serious warning for our time, which we find written here. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, from verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. We notice how serious the apostle was, that the proclamation of the word is kept in a way as it was given to him by God. I've said it already last night in Galatians chapter 1. Paul referred to it, and he writes here in verse 11, Galatians 1, verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." All this are very important scriptures to us, which we take to heart, especially in regards of that so many interpretations are not only in fellowships we know, but in all the world, in all the denominations, there are enough interpretations. There are so many who don't even believe that Jesus Christ was virgin born, begotten by the Spirit, and so forth. They left the foundation upon which the early church stood and replaced it by a liberal theology. But thanks be to God that there are still people who rejoice about that God's word remained God's word, and that we can receive it with all our hearts and believe it, and that in us a relationship was established to this word by the Spirit of God. When John was banned to the Isle of Patmos, it also happened for the sake of the Word of God. I read from Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." It was simply about that God's word was put upon the lampstand, that God's word is kept in its truth, that it is written down so that we have it. So, with the prophets and with the apostles, it was about the word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God remains forever. Also, this will become true if the word of God is in us as a divine seed. Then also we will have part in that what God has promised in his word, and we will see his glory. I don't believe that God deceived a person until now, and he will also not do it throughout eternity. To the overcomers he promised glory, and what is written of them, I will just read it from Revelation. They have overcome by the word of their testimony. Who knows this scripture? Revelation chapter 12, it should be. And there, verse 11. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. Well, this goes into a totally different area, namely into that phase when Christ takes his own home. Then there is an argument. This we know for a long time. Revelation 12 from verse 7, it's described as the last battle. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. Also for this we are already grateful today. In the moment where the bridegroom takes his bride home, then he will fight no more with the powers of the enemy. He had his victory on the cross of Calvary. He will not face the enemy for a second time. As then with David and Goliath, it was a contract between the two parties. Let one come from your side and one from ours. Two fight the battle for all the others. The side which succumbs will have to serve the other. And thus Christ, the Son of David, faced the enemy and came for all of us to the front and fought the fight and has given us the victory. The powers of the enemy must be subject unto us. But that the enemy has still access and the principalities are still in the air, we all know. And in the moment where Christ, the Redeemer, wants to take the redeemed into glory, there the old enemy wants to still hinder it, and there the Archangel Michael intervenes with all his host and says, Stop, now down. And the enemy comes with all of his host down, and Christ goes up with all his own. And then we hear and see of all these powers of the enemy nothing anymore. This will be a nice thing. The enemy with his own comes down, and Christ goes up with his own. Down here it will then be very terrible. Up there it will be glorious. For what no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and what didn't enter into any man's heart, this God prepared for them who love him. And we may by grace belong to them. Now, I read one more scripture from the last chapter of Revelation. Revelation 22. Here it says, in verse 6, And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets, sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. The word is faithful and true. The word is certain. We can rely on it. And as emphasized many times, the scripture cannot be broken. Everything what God has said is forever true and will happen just as He said it. Only God has a time plan, and we do well when we are not in a hurry. However, are watching and praying to go with the Lord and with that what He is doing. How many prophets and apostles were waiting already for the completion on which we are waiting now? Thousands of years have passed, and since the first coming of Christ, again almost 2,000 years, and unbelievers can say, haven't all these believers made a fool of themselves, who always were waiting that the Lord should come? Not at all. The contrary is right. By their expectation, they testified that in them is the living hope to have part in the resurrection. And when the completion comes, then all from all ages will resurrect, and together we shall meet the Lord. If I could ask today a Peter or a John, or if I could ask Paul, listen, my brother, were you not disappointed? You expected the return of the Lord at your lifetime. John, Peter, Paul, tell me, how was it when you then knew, now I have to leave, without that you experienced the coming of the Lord and the changing of your bodies? You wrote about it, you preached about it, you expected it, and now on your last day, let me ask you, how did you feel in your heart on your last day here on this earth? The one would say, I felt so well in the Lord. The other would say, it was a joy in me, unspeakable and glorious. Then comes Mr. Skeptic and asks, tell me, but you were counting with it, that the Lord would return at your time. For you have written, we shall not all fall asleep, but we all shall be changed. Paul, O Paul, now, what shall we do now with these words which you have written? We believe that you were inspired by the Spirit of God. And now, how is it with you? Oh, how he might have said with his last strength, rely on it. What I have written will be fulfilled at the time which God determined. No one could convince me that a prophet or apostle would ever have staggered. You all know the only place that is being interpreted in this way is the fact that John, simply when he was thrown into prison, he sent his disciples to Jesus and lets them ask, are you the one who should come, or should we wait for someone else? And there are, of course, enough people who really think that John doubted. I'm of a totally different opinion, and the Holy Scripture says, let everyone be certain of his opinion, and I'm very certain of my opinion. John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. John heard the voice of him who sent him, on whom you see the Spirit of God descending like a dove. It is him. He received instruction. To him was given a sign. And before, he said very clearly, I baptize only with water unto repentance. But he who comes after me, he who was before me, he who is greater than I, whom I am not worthy to unloose his shoes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And when the Lamb of God, our Savior, on that day came, dear John said, out of full conviction, behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. If we list all these testimonies of this man of God next to each other or underneath one another, then they have a very great weight. I tell you how it was. Many were clinging so strongly to John, and he was in prison, and his disciples could not loose themselves from him to now follow Jesus, whom he introduced. Some simply remained disciples of John instead of becoming disciples of Jesus. And so he said, go, ask him whether it is him. In other words, if it is difficult for you to believe me, what I've said, then go and ask him yourself. And that's how it was. And they received a good answer. Go and tell him everything, what is happening here, the blind see, the lame walk. And John then most certainly could show them from the prophet Isaiah 35. Now hear finally what I have said. When the Messiah comes, the blind will see, the lame will walk, and the tongue of the dumb will jubilate. That's how it is written in Isaiah 35. So, the Lord gave a biblical answer, and the people who asked received their answer. If one reads the Word of God, then one has to read carefully all the scriptures which belong to one subject, to then also get the right answer. No, the prophets and apostles, they didn't doubt, just the contrary. They testified of the truth, for the Word came to them. They have become a part of the Word. And therefore, it's written in Psalms, what is it, 82 or 86, that the Word came to them and they were called gods. And such people gave testimony, but the world was not worthy of them. We who believe today, we are grateful to the Lord that we have the Old and New Testament, and that God gave light and clarity, overall view and insight into all of His plan of salvation. Also this we said already sometimes, precisely because the time is here, therefore God revealed all these things. There were people who knew more than we know. But because the time is here now, therefore it pleased the Lord to make His Word great and glorious, to reveal the hidden mysteries. And thanks be to the Lord for it, that there are people who can believe with all their heart what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear. And then also in Revelation 2 and 3, over and again, the admonitions, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Let us summarize. At this weekend, God was gracious to us. He spoke to us through His Word. He again showed us what matters. And I think we will go from here richly blessed. And with us all, who will hear what was being read here, what was being said here, also they will thank God with all their heart. To that, what we heard last night and this morning, nothing could be added to it anymore. It was complete in itself. Important is only that it is now fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah also has written, Lord, seal the instruction in the heart of your disciples, that all instructions, all teachings, that everything what is given to us by God from the Word, that it is sealed in our hearts, that we bear it, that we ponder on it and keep it, and that the enemy would have no right on us. Just the contrary, that we praise the name of the Lord our God with all our hearts. Now it comes to my mind what a precious sister wrote to me, who is in our midst this afternoon. Let me read it. It will be a blessing for all of us. I just read the second page of this card. You have many who stand in prayer behind you. My heart is full of thanksgiving for that, what the Lord is doing now. When His word goes forth, then my heart burns, that I almost can't stand it. And I wished it would come more life into our midst. This is all our wish. And what can we say to it? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. If we received Him, then we received life. But it must be given to us, that it also can be manifested. In full expectation, I look forward to the weekend. May the Lord feel well in our midst and come to His right. Is this not the cry and wish of our hearts? Could not all of us have written the same text here? May the Lord feel well in our midst, in our hearts. We want from now on just to believe. Brother Schmidt read the word of the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, and he also made the difference between fear and reverence. This is a big difference. We are not here in fear of punishment. We are here in awe and reverence before the living God, who took our chastisement upon Himself in Jesus Christ our Lord. For there is no fear in love, but reverence before the Almighty God will be in the hearts of all who fear God. And the fear of God, the fear of God, not the fear of men, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We want to fear God and love and trust Him, not being afraid of Him, but reverence, to love Him, to trust Him. He will bring it to pass. Blessed be His wonderful name. Amen. Let us come to the front and thank the Lord with an open heart, with an open mouth, for that what He has done.